Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. All right, I think this will work fine. I'm gonna put this right here, and we'll put it right there. Okay. Again, thank you so much for meeting with me this afternoon. This is Ben Barge talking with Miss Carol. Well, I'm gonna put you at Carol Purfoy, but now you go by Miss Carol Brooks.
I was Carol. Right. Yes.
Of course.
During the civil rights, I was purple.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's the 15th today, I believe.
Today is the 16th.
16th of April, 2012. Mm-hmm. And so I was thought we could talk a little bit about the Jim Wallace's photos in this Courage in the Moment book. As Ms. Edwards pointed out to you, I think your picture is on page 100 and 103. Mm-hmm. And I believe these photos must have been taken in 63 or maybe early 64. But do you have any recollection based on looking at this?
Yes, I remember it slightly. It's been quite 47 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do remember we were singing and chatting. That was Carol Brown and I can remember Maxine Mason. I can mm-hmm. remember most of them. Mm-hmm. But I think basically here in Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. we had a wonderful march. The struggle wasn't as bad as it seems here. Mm-hmm. But in the other states, it was really bad. And I really enjoyed it, marching in the Chapel Hill area. I did try it in Raleigh, but they were a little violent. Chapel Hill wasn't that violent.
Why do you think Chapel Hill was less violent than in other places?
I think because the blacks and the whites got along fine, and simply because it was a university town and we had so many different personalities here mm-hmm. then. But I was young, and I think basically it was because we were younger, too. Mm-hmm. I think.
And so you said a lot of these were some of your good friends?
Classmates. Mm-hmm. That was a classmate. That's my cousin, Carol mm-hmm. Brown, and Maxine Mason. And Farrington, and can't even think of his name, but I remember most of the faces.
Uh-huh.
Names may be at an end due to the fact, you know, as you get older.
Uh-huh.
But the struggle here, I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. It wasn't like you read in the books in Mississippi, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and even Durham. Durham was a little violent right. also. And during that, I guess that range back in the 60s and things like that, people were not, they were just prejudiced, I'll put it that way. So maybe if you ask me something, maybe I can recall some of the scenes and all. But basically, we were a peaceful movement here. I liked it better here.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see on TV where the dogs, the police
right.
had all the dogs. And places like that, but Chapel Hill and North Carolina, some areas were not as violent as other areas. We may have had a few incidents, and I remember at the Watts Motel,
mm-hmm.
they would throw acid, and mm-hmm. they would pee out the window, embarrassing, but they just didn't want us to integrate. That was the biggest problem. But I think we've got along fine here in Chapel Hill. Things maybe seem like it's going backwards instead of going forward now that you have all these different college students not knocking you.
No, I understand.
A lot of the old places that people call home is being invaded by students, mm-hmm. which I know this is a university town. Not that we're against it now, but we have to have respect also.
Right.
If they think about it, I know the people, are you from Chapel Hill?
I'm from Georgia, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
What were you about to say?
Never mind. I'm listening. What else would you like?
No, we can talk about anything you like, if that's something you'd like to talk about more.
No, I'll answer your question. But Chapel Hill was basically, to me, was a very small town,
mm-hmm.
but wonderful, enjoyable. It was more of a friendly town. But with the new college students coming on,
mm-hmm.
from different areas,
mm-hmm.
different backgrounds, it's changing.
It's not so much of a small town feel.
It's not so much a small town feel, correct. Well, I can say I've lived in the city also. It's getting more like the city.
Mm-hmm.
I think they want it mostly city life.
You say they, do you mean?
The new arrivals, how
mm-hmm.
about that? Because see, the old ones, I know we need change, and I'm for change. I'm older, I can understand it much better than I did back in 64 because I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little more mature now, and I can understand and comprehend it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you spoke about a sense of joy and during the movement in this time period. What do you think made it joyful?
Maybe because we had a lot of the classmates, and it was very, wasn't violent to me. It was just seemed like you just enjoying yourself and having a wonderful time, getting to know new people and trying to progress into a new setting,
mm-hmm.
to get along better with the students and other races. It was very wonderful, maybe because I was young and wasn't violent, really.
Right.
Very young. It was really nice. It really was.
Well, can you remember the first time you went out to a march or demonstration, or what? How did you first get involved?
Well, it was at the First Baptist Church, really,
mm-hmm.
And I think it was Harold Forster and Leo Leek and Braxton Fashie.
Mm-hmm.
We were cheerleaders at Lincoln High School,
mm-hmm.
Titus, and they asked if we wanted to lead a march, and we quite hairily said yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like being active on, you know, in school and all, it would help. So
sure. And had you known Harold Foster and them since you were children?
He's older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we lived in the same neighborhood. Right in this same Pottersfield, we called it. Was it Pottersfield?
Pottersfield. That's right.
Right. So we all grew up here, and we all knew each other,
mm-hmm.
even though he was older. But we all knew each other,
mm-hmm.
and we got along well.
So you were born in Pottersfield, in this area? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in the big white house on the corner of Cotton and McDade.
What was it like growing up there in that house? What was the neighborhood like back then?
Well, it was enjoyable because we were more like a family. The whole neighborhood
yeah.
knew each other,
mm-hmm.
and we were more like a family growing up together. We all grew up together and attended the same schools. And well, I think I attended Lincoln High. Most of them moved to Chapel Hill High when it became integrated.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really just a family neighborhood, I put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly. We just have to get used to the students. They make it kind of hard for you, but we're putting up with it.
I can imagine it's changed a lot.
It has, and it would be even better if the students would understand. I'm sure most of them are from out of town, as you can say, you're from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are from out of town, New York, New Jersey, and other places where I think, I don't know whether they got along as well as the people in Chapel Hill or not. I just
mm-hmm.
don't know how they grew up in Georgia. I'm sure it was violent.
You're sure
from what I've seen on TV, I'm sure it was very violent then. I'm sure.
Right.
But in Chapel Hill, it was more friendly. People knew each other. And we were just one big happy family.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it could be that way again if we could get these students to understand.
What do you think something that students should understand that they're not understanding right now?
Well,
I mean, you spoke a lot about respect, which I think is very important. What do you think are some ways students can be more respectful than they have been, or maybe more respectful like it was back then?
Well, Now you ask the question. Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can honestly come up with a good answer for that. I think if they would understand that this is a family neighborhood, mm-hmm. and we treat each other with respect by not being violent, or when you're loud, you can at a certain time have a party, which is fine, we party. But know when to cease, know when to stop, and not be so loud, you know?
Right.
Just be. You can be loud to a certain, say maybe I give them 1 o'clock or 12. You know, after mm-hmm. that, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, we're older now. We need our rest.
Right.
You are young and ready to go at 3 a.m. I'm barely trying to get out of the bed. But I think if we could all work together and get along much better, I don't have any problems out of them. The ones that's in my neighborhood, I live on Brook Street.
Mm-hmm.
But they have loud parties. They do bring around a note stating the fact that we are having a party, and if you have a problem, to, you know, let them know.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if we go to their party and let them know how loud they are,
mm-hmm.
and with the drinking, the smoking, mm-hmm. and whatever they're doing, they may get violent.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than do that, I would just call the police and let them pass. Because if we try, I'm sure some of them are very understanding. Then you have others that are violent,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be in that environment. I really don't.
Sure.
So I think the police should handle most of the parties and stuff. Which I don't mind if they would cut them off. If they say 1 o'clock, let's stop. 1
mm-hmm.
o'clock. Not 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have to go to work,
mm-hmm.
have to take care of small children.
Right.
This is supposed to be like a family neighborhood, but they really want it to be college. They
mm-hmm.
want it all to be for the college students.
Yeah.
Oh, now you ask me stuff. Don't let me.
Well, it's fine. Were there many college students living in the area?
No.
When you were growing up?
No. It was just a family
mm-hmm.
neighborhood. But I guess it's, most of them are, I guess, moved away, and most of them are passed on, and
right.
you know, and the other families that's up north, like she's up north, she, you know, they don't want to come back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the reason why, but they, most of them don't want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I
jobs.
Guess it leave it open for the realtors to do, mostly for college students, because they're sure they're going to get their money.
Right.
Because their mothers and fathers are going to have.
Well, if we could talk a little bit more about, you mentioned you went to Lincoln High School.
Lincoln High School, yes.
And did you change over to Chapel Hill High as well? Did you graduate?
No,
from
I graduated in 1964 from Lincoln.
Okay, so that was that before the integration started then? Cause
no, I think the integration was still. I can't remember exactly when they started to Chapel Hill High, but. Do you?
I was 11 years old.
See, I can't.
It would have been 1961. Wait a minute.
It would be 61, 60. 60. Sheila and 61, Stanley.
Probably 1960. But now when it fully integrated, now that was, what, 66?
Had to be.
Yeah, 1966 when it fully integrated.
Right.
Because I went there in the seventh grade, and I was just 11 years old.
Right.
And
right.
We went on Franklin Street.
See, that was back in 64. And
right.
60 mm-hmm. And 63. Yeah, because that's when we were cheerleaders for you and for Lincoln High School.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Atwater, Evelyn Walker, and Carol Purefoy then. And Charlie Fushie.
So do you think this would have been after school or?
Well, it was after school, but not after I graduated. It had to be in 64, but it was during my school. I can't remember exactly,
mm-hmm.
but I know it was during when I was in school, and I graduated, well, in 64.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be before,
yeah.
during the marching before 64.
Mm-hmm.
61, 62, 60, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. Because that I do remember distinctly, marching down Franklin Street.
Of your friends at Lincoln, how many of them do you think would you say were actively involved in the marches?
Oh, yeah.
Most of them, or
most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was most of them. Most of everyone of them. Most of them. I think she's moved away, and she moved. She's in New Jersey. She's in California. Did Charlie Wan expire?
Mm-mm, he's in Greensboro.
Greensboro. See, most
Greensboro
of them are from Chapel.
But these people, they're
mm-hmm.
calling in, they wanting to get the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it felt like being in the march?
Well, like I told you, it felt wonderful. It was exciting.
Right.
New. You know, trying to help integrate. Want to be in the front door, because I remember at the bus station, you know, they had the color to white, and
mm-hmm.
we wasn't allowed to go on the white side, and wasn't allowed to drink from the fountain down on the university.
Mm-hmm.
It was devastating, but it was exciting too, to kind of break the chain
mm-hmm.
and start a new trend. It was wonderful. Because one thing I think really what made it wonderful and exciting in Chapel Hill, it just wasn't violent.
Right.
You wasn't afraid to walk down the street. You wasn't afraid to sit in front of a car, because we knew we would be safe.
Mm-hmm.
It was just wonderful here in Chapel Hill. I can't speak for other states, but it was
right.
wonderful. I was excited. Didn't mind marching.
How often do you think you went marching?
Every time it was a march.
So a lot.
A lot.
Right. Because that, gosh, in the summer of 63, there was one about every
march I was trying to attend for change
mm-hmm.
to better.
What did your parents and family members think of you marching?
Well, I'm going to speak for me. I was with my aunt, Willie Mae Patterson,
mm-hmm.
and she was excited. My mother worked hard and had to get up at 5 a.m. She was excited,
mm-hmm.
too. Just be careful. Don't get hurt. Watch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't sit out there, you know, back in the day. But Willie, my aunt, she really helped a lot. She said, go ahead and march for your civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that way they
That's
told
right.
us?
So. That's right. My mama puts the baby stroller out there.
Well, my mother didn't march because she was a little heavy and
mm-hmm.
she had to get up at 5 a.m. But my aunt, now, we was there. She was really more outgoing than my mother and my father. But it was exciting. I just loved it. I wish I could change this now, but
oh, Lord.
I got a lot of struggling to
yeah.
do.
We had to have money to change it now.
No, that's true.
That's something we don't have.
Right.
So we stuck
here. But it was wonderful. That was, you can see, in my younger days. Younger days. There.
Sounds like your parents were proud.
They really were, especially my auntie. My mother was just a hard worker, and she was just so tired.
Mm-hmm.
But my auntie was more like, well, I guess I'm more like my auntie, outgoing.
It was
very exciting and new.
What did your mother and father do?
My mother worked as in the salad department at Lenoir Hall.
Mm-hmm.
My father worked at the med school as a janitor. And Aunt Willie Mae was a tech, medical tech at UNC.
Mm-hmm. Did you, besides, I mean, you said your mother and father were working a lot. Did you remember, did Did your aunt ever go on marches with you as well? Or?
Well, maybe one, not that many, because she had trouble with her, you know, her legs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not that many, but she did. But she was always there. Let's see, she was helping you, pushing you to strive, to change, to get in the front door, to go to college,
mm-hmm.
to better yourself than what they had. You know, back in the day, it was kind of hard for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So she wanted it much better for us.
Did your teachers at Lincoln say similar things, or what were they like?
Well, like Mr. Caldwell, Hillier Caldwell,
mm-hmm.
he participated. Miss Manley and the basketball coach, Miss what was her name, Monroe. Yes, they would march too, also, but
mm-hmm.
they had other things to do. So the young students, like all of us, we decided to move ahead and let them rest. It was a time for the young generation to help strive, you know, for the best, make it better, because we probably understood the younger generation, and we
mm-hmm.
were much younger, and probably could have, you know, we could stand the abuse and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents probably couldn't.
Right.
I know mine could.
They don't want to lose their jobs.
Right.
Right.
And see, we didn't have a job, so we weren't afraid. We just attended school, but we did the best in school, though. We made it. We graduated.
Yeah.
You said most of a lot of these friends were people on the cheerleading team with you, right?
The three in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Myself, Evelyn, and Patricia Atwater. She's in California now. Evelyn is in New Jersey.
Could you tell me a bit about that cheerleading team?
Oh, we were the best. Lincoln Tigers were the best. It was wonderful. We were the best. That's all I can tell you. Lincoln High School were the best. Best cheerleaders, best band. So we didn't mind the integration. We didn't mind the segregation either. No, we knew we were doing well.
Sounds like there was a lot of school pride around Lincoln.
It was Lincoln High. Still is. And I graduated in 64.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful.
Did you mostly cheer for the football team, or did you do cheer for all
the basketball?
Teams?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes.
Did you cheer all 4 years of high school?
I think it was when I was in the eighth or ninth grade. Might have been the ninth grade when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to the 12th. Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, no, it's great. Well, do you remember any of your friends or anyone you knew being more hesitant to march? Was everybody pretty much
I think we pretty much all wanted to march. I can't
mm-hmm.
remember anyone not wanting to march.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't.
So when do you remember the marches kind of slowing down?
I really can't tell you exactly when. I don't know whether it was in the later years or early 70s or what, but I really can't. But I know back in the 60s up to maybe the 70s, it was still,
mm-hmm.
you know, strong. So
going up about 69.
Well, yes, I see. I can't.
Were you still marching all up through that
I
time as well?
I still march.
Mm-hmm.
I even march today, too, but may not be as exciting as it was when I first started.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
doing the fact that you get older, you slow down.
Right. Well, when the marches eventually did slow down in the late 60s or early 70s, it sounds like it's something that you miss in some ways.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think then we were just eager. You know how you learn new things?
Mm-hmm.
We were just eager to learn and to do change, really. We were looking for really change.
Right.
Besides, you know, going to the side door, let's go in the front. Let us all sit together in the movie and watch the movie. It was, you know, exciting to have change.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pleasant to be able to sit down on the thing instead of walking up 10 flights of stairs to the balcony and stuff like that. So change was good. I'm glad it's, I hope we don't go back to at least still struggling, fighting.
Well, after you graduated from Lincoln, did you go on to...
Well, I attended Durham Tech to be unit secretary at Memorial Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back. I was supposed to have been going to be an LPN, but I decided to do the unit clerk because they made the same thing. And I could sit down. I wouldn't have to worry about disease. I think my best thing was to be the secretary, to mingle with other people, and to, rather than being a hard-working LPN nurse.
Yeah.
I preferred to learn more by sitting down, getting used to the patients and like that.
How long were, how long did you do that?
For 32 years at UNC. I retired in 2000. Now ask me, do I miss that? Yes.
Do you?
I worked on the pediatric ward with the little children. Yes, I miss that. But now back to the civil rights. Okay.
Sure. I'm trying to think. Did you, so obviously you did a lot of the marching. Were you involved in a lot of the preparation for the marching as well?
Yes. Asked me what, how do we prepare and all this. It was, I know we marched at First Baptist Church. We learned the margin, the songs and all this at First Baptist in their court there. We had meetings at different churches and stuff like that also. And we learned how to be, as Martin Luther King could say, nonviolent. And basically Chapel Hill, to me, was nonviolent. Your state was violent.
Right. Yes, it was. Were you, did you ever, were you ever arrested or was your friends ever arrested?
Well, I was arrested twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and with Reverend Manley and other ministers. And it was pleasant. It was fun. People, you know, brought in food and helped us out.
Mm-hmm.
But they found me not guilty. I don't know how, and I was in the book. It was not, you know, it wasn't violent, it wasn't bad, it was mostly a friendly atmosphere, even in jail, it really was.
Were you in, were you in single cells, or were you grouped together?
No, we were together, together in the cell. I didn't stay in there, but 30 minutes, I was out.
Okay. What were you, so you said you were not guilty, what was the accusation,
well,
what was the charge?
Let's see. I think it was at the Merchants Association. We were sitting there, which we, you know, I was there, and they said I wasn't, so they let me go. Sitting at the Merchant, well, I think it was the Merchant Association right up there next to. It's a restaurant. Hams, Hams. No.
Oh, you're talking about
Hams.
Yeah.
Was the Merchants Association?
Yeah.
And we had a sit-in there. And
right,
they arrested
the
us. They asked us to leave, and we didn't leave, so we were arrested.
They had another drugstore down there, too.
Right, but it was the Merchants Association. And then at Big John's there, I didn't, well, I stood on the outside. I didn't do much of the sitting in at the counter and all that, because mostly I had to go to school and get my lesson during that time. But I was out front whenever I had a break from school.
So would you would you go right after school got out, or on the weekends? Or?
On the weekends and after school.
So would the marches normally start around when classes got out, or would you would they have started earlier and you would join them?
Well, I don't even really recall if I'm sure they had some all day, and afterwards, I know after school I would join them, And on weekends, I would be there all day. I
remember. What was it like being a student with homework and assignments, but also having all of this going on at the same time?
It was rough, but I made it. It was worth it. It was rough, but
yep.
I made it. And it was worth it. Really. Mm-hmm.
Of like a whole different kind of education.
Well, yes. But I did receive it.
So you were, both times you arrested were because of
sit-in, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The boycott, yes.
And they said you weren't there?
Well, the Merchants Association, when I was arrested, said I wasn't there, but I was. I was right next to Mary Benton. We all got arrested at the same time. I don't know why they said that.
Did they ask you to testify or anything like that?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, not like that.
How did your parents react when they knew you were arrested?
I'm sure they were worried and didn't, they was worried and didn't want me to march anymore, but I did. I decided I'm safe at 18. So I made my own decision. It was time to march to get in the front door. So I can help that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back and help you because it's been.
Oh, no, it's fine. This is great.
It's been.
Well, is there anything specifically that's come to mind to you that you'd like about this that you'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about yet so far?
I'm serious. It's been quite a while.
No, it's fine. But I really appreciate you talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to. You know, it's one thing to see the pictures and read the books like John Ailey's book and this book, but it's quite another to talk to people who lived all this, and so I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope I helped you, but it's all I can tell you was fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to help change things for the better. It really was.
Mm-hmm. It looks like people were singing during in this picture.
Well, yes, we were. I can't remember the song, but we were singing and
mm-hmm.
chanting and.
Do you remember any of the songs that you did used to sing?
Remember the one Paul and Silas bound in jail, having money to free the bill.
Yeah, but we did.
Eyes on the
prize. Right.
And
it was.
And we shall overcome.
That's exactly what I just put to say. That mostly.
Yeah.
The ones. We shall overcome. Was the main one. And I think that may be what we were chanting right there as we walked down Franklin Street. Couldn't be sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know we all did a lot of We Shall Overcome.
Well, looking back on it now, how does it feel to kind of to see these pictures and see your younger self?
Well, it feels good. To know that I did help.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Help bring about a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to say? Or?
No.
Well, great. Well, again, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope I helped you. I really do, because it's been quite a while.
No, I understand.
You know.
Yeah. And so, make sure you tell all your other sisters and all, and tell them I already put the name down,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get a book if we can get them cheaper.
Well, this book is
and,
for you.
Oh, all right, thank you.
Of course.
She would cherish it and show all of her grandchildren and children and sisters and nieces and nephews and, oh, believe me, she's going to be showing everybody. can hear butter now. Woo, mama.
So it really was. I wish I could remember a lot more to help y'all.
That was fun.
Well, now her brother was up at the Dairy Bar, and there's a picture of him holding a protest sign at the Dairy Bar, but I have to try to figure out what book that's in, because there are other pictures also. So I can hear you down there when you get home. Oh, girl, did I got to sleep in? So soon as Virginia get out, girl, get over here.
Yeah.
And old JP, he gonna have a fit knowing that he's in the book.
Yeah, maybe I'll get, he can come back to Chapel Hill and.
Yeah, so he can.
So
he can see it, but tell him to wait. Let's see how it's gonna come out. We're getting the books cheaper.
Oh, all mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. Because, you know, they don't, the students didn't have enough books, you know, for everybody. So they did about, what, about 10 mm-hmm. people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a big sale.
Yeah, and they raised funds to buy the book give to you all for your interview, for assisting them with the school project.
Well, I'm about to help you.
Yeah, because they are $30 books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, but they really appreciate it, and mm-hmm. All of us who got books, we appreciate it too, because it's our history.
Yes.
And we never thought, you know, we would have anything with, you know, like pictures from the civil rights, because
right.
that makes us feel real good, because everybody, we hold Martin Luther King dear,
mm-hmm.
and he started a lot of this, but then when you can actually see yourself participating,
right.
You know, it makes you really feel that, wow, I'm right up there with him marching, and I made a difference. Yeah, so.
So these photos were taken by Jim Wallace. Did I have you know Jim?
But we probably saw him when we were marching and all,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't pay any mind to it, you
sure.
know. We, like she said, we're just so excited about marching and, you know.
Right.
We didn't really pay attention because a lot of us, if we were made aware that, you know, photographer was out there doing all that, you know, we'd have been all in the camp. clowning, laughing,
right.
being not supposed to, and be marching, be serious, you know.
Right.
We've been clowning for the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's best that, you know, we didn't know they were taking so many pictures. Well, there were other people taking pictures, too. Because in this book, you know, there's other pictures. From the UNC alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And they had pictures of some that's not even in this book. And also, they have some of the same pictures in this book, but they tell you who the people are.
Oh, okay.
You see, like, this picture here with the people laying in the street?
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, now, down here, it's got the name of the people who, you know, who's laying in the street.
Right.
And they have another, where that picture at? See, we have always wondered who this woman was being dragged, but see, her name is in the book. And then that's James Britton down there where Big John and his son throwed him out of their store. And then you have another picture of Quentin Baker where they threw the bleach and ammonia on him.
At that Watts Motel.
Yeah, and he's
mm-hmm.
being taken to the hospital.
Right, I remember that. I was there, thank God. I didn't get on that.
See?
I remember that.
See, those are two pictures not in the book.
You were there when the ammonia was...
Yes, thrown mm-hmm. on, yes.
Toe Booth was, too.
Now, this is the sit-in I was telling you about up at the Merchants
Association. Uh-huh, the Merchants Association, uh-huh.
But luckily, I think it happened mostly to the ones that were up front.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was mostly in the back, but I remember
mm-hmm.
distinctly,
mm-hmm.
Was it Leo Lee? Was it Leo Lee?
You tell them that.
And then I remember a lady urinated out the window down at that Watts Motel.
Yeah.
And she threw it out in the.
Yeah, because Tobe said he almost. Some of it got on him.
Said some of that got on
him. It did. And,
Well, he lives about, what is it?
Now.
Three houses up there.
But this, I think, was the violent it ever was in
Chapel. It just came from them. It
doing
didn't
the ammonia and the urine.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. But other than that, no dogs, no shooting or anything.
See, we
like
didn't
that.
Go through any of that. And this was the other one, Carol.
I hate I didn't bring my glasses.
Now, you all can get a copy of this book from UNC Alumni Center, because that's where it come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the
Carolina Alumni
Review. So you might go by the Alumni Center and see if they have a copy of it, so you can see the other pictures.
I remember that.
In fact, I can try to get a few copies if that'll be even easier. So
because they would love them. You know, people would love to have all that. And they were giving these away. I don't think you had to pay for these.
No, they come up with this every month. I can go by the Alumni Center and get some.
Yeah. Now, but it's got to be this date.
Right. Which edition is it?
Okay, now this edition, let's see, 2006. See, March, April, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they have this online, too.
Okay.
I'll look for that.
But if they got some of those books, oh, we'll take as many as you can get.
All right.
We'll just pass it around in the community.
Right.
They'd be more than glad to have those pictures.
Did you know any of the policemen that did all the arrests that well?
You got David Conwell.
Mm-hmm.
His son is supposed to be interviewed by one of you all. I arranged that so that his name is David Conwell. His father named David Conwell. So you all supposed to be talking to David Jr.
Okay.
I gave Alexis, I think that's the name, but I gave one of the telephone number for his home telephone number and his cell phone.
Okay.
And he's going to tell you all about how his father felt having to arrest his own people and what was going through. The things he had to put up with at the police department with the other white officers and what was said and what was done. You know, his father would come home and it was hard on them because, you know, sometimes kids would pick up and say, your daddy arrest my mama or dad or whatever, but he was just doing his job. But see, we understood that in the community that this was just his job, something he had to do, else he wouldn't have a job. But then sometimes kids, you know how they tease one another. But basically, you know, the kid, his own children knew it was part of the job, and so it didn't have that big effect on them. You know. But so I know that family well. I used to work with the black officer's son at University Police. And I'll show you which one. Now, not only was the police officer, one of the police officers, he and Caldwell was his brother. So you had a brother arresting a brother. And let me see if I can find his picture. And because he's in a lot of these pictures. I'm trying to find the biggest one so you will see. He's in the picture where he's got Yvonne Cotton. Let me see. But he's in probably about five or six of these pictures. And I knew him well also. Well, I knew him through his son, so me working with his son. And we used to sit and talk, he and I, all the time. Let's see if I can even. Okay. Well, he's in about probably six, seven pictures. But that's David Conwell right here. And David Conwell right here. That's his brother.
On the front.
And his brother was a leader. Yeah, so it was awkward, but they both
right.
knew what was going on. And so y'all have that guy, and so I need to know, if you can find out, who has David Caldwell Jr. to make sure that they talk with him.
Uh-huh.
Now, they probably have to go out to Rogers Road to talk with him. Let's see. Let me call him now. Let me call David now and see if they have
emergency
association. Emergency association.
Yes.
Right.
Where we did a city revival. I do remember that. And I do remember when we used to sit on Franklin Street doing a
college
basketball game.
Hey, sweetie,
look,
baby, have they interviewed you yet? The students interviewed you yet, baby?
The people that were driving, going to the game.
Nobody called yet?
You know how they would run.
Okay, because I got one of the students here.
They were very understanding.
Interviewing Carol Pierpoint Brooks. And I just thought, he just asked me about your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll make sure they try to get you this week, okay?
My evening.
All right,
mm-hmm.
Darling, and thank you so much. And there's another book with some pictures in it, too. And so I have to, I'm going to come out there to the cookout.
In your age, they couldn't have been nonviolent.
Well, now you got the Carolina Alumni Review, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the only guy, and I've gotten a little hit.
Okay, I got a student here, and he said he's going to go by there and see if they got something.
Like,
he's
going back in the day when you were
so I'll save you one of those.
Listen to your mother.
Oh,
your
you know I will. You know I will.
And
yeah,
sometimes you will.
And so I'll make sure somebody contact you this week.
Now it seems like it.
Okay,
I'm going to be
thanks
honest.
A lot.
If somebody pushed me then, I don't think I could stand and walk away.
Right.
Seriously. I think I have to be a little wild. Be honest, as I've gotten older.
Yeah,
but back in the day,
back in the day,
we
were conditioned.
Right.
We were conditioned. That was a way of life.
Back in the day.
You know,
right. But now.
If we turned violent back then, we know that somebody else black was going to have to pay for our
mistake. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going home late at night, driving on the road or whatever. And see, back then, they were still lynching people.
Correct.
And so you always had that in the back of your mind. And so, the nonviolent approach, it really worked for us, but it won't work now because
yes.
we got young people who don't know the history and young people
right.
who live by the sword.
Right.
And what I mean by that, guns is plentiful. They just not going to let you put dogs on them, water hoses, and
right.
spit on them, throw bleach on them, all this
right.
kind of stuff. They're not going to do that, but if we're not careful in this country, we're going back to Jim Crow laws, and but you don't have those people anymore, submissive people.
Yeah, the generation back then, we were understanding and
right.
knew exactly what would happen and what was going on, but you have the headstrong generation now.
Right.
They're
not
going to take
gonna
what
do
we
it.
To bleach or anything, so
right.
they're more... We're more, I say, conditioned to like Martin Luther King,
right.
nonviolent.
Right.
But
so,
this
yeah.
generation now is more like, let's say, the militant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest,
right.
the militant.
Yeah.
Because my son is the same way.
Yeah.
He's not like easygoing like his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they try to do that, it will be a lot of bloodshed
yeah.
and violence.
But you know what? It would come not only from blacks,
black.
But it would come from that whole generation, whites, blacks.
Minority,
right.
Not only the minority.
Everybody would be in there because even the whites have a different mindset
right.
than the whites who had the mindset back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because your generation would not tolerate somebody putting a water hose on someone, the dogs biting on people, and you all would not take that. You'd jump right in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, whites and blacks suffered together.
Mm-hmm.
They were submissive together. As you can see in these pictures,
right.
most of the whites suffered more than we did.
Right, they sure did.
Because they were treated them like they were traitors.
And they were trying to help
Right.
The black friends.
So you can see, like, the Occupy movement, how people are, they get so excited about something. They're willing to go to jail, but then a lot of other stuff happens, too. And so it's just a mindset you have back then. You don't have it now. And mm-hmm. so this Trayvon Martin thing, I just shudder to think if this guy is not found guilty of something. Mm-hmm. And he gets off like the Anthony case, what's the girl that killed the daughter? But you saw how people were, Casey Anthony, I think that's mm-hmm. what. But you saw how people just went berserk when she didn't get no time. Mm-hmm. Now, and then you got all of these Republicans trying to flip things back to Jim Crow. And so you got all of that going on at the same time that this case is going on. And something is going to push that button and we won't be able to turn back. And you see all that hatred, not hatred, but all of this stuff we have. Many blacks have inside of us about, especially Obama, not getting any type of respect as being the president of the United States, like all the other presidents got when they were president. Mm-hmm. Obama do not get any respect from Congress. He do not get any respect whatsoever. They walk around and say he's gonna. We just in here for him to be a one-term president, and he's out the door. They don't make no balls about it. They didn't know Congress. They don't get a man nothing. And so when something jumps off, all of that is going to come into play. Mm-hmm. And God help us. Because we older people ain't going to be able to control the younger crowd.
True.
Because this is their future. This is their future. They got to live with this. We done already lived.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We retired and just want to sit home and enjoy life. But our young people, they see all this happening. Because, like I said, I never ever, and I've lived, gone 62 years, never seen a president to be so be treated so disrespected mm-hmm. by people who we sent to office,
right.
you know, to represent all of us. There's no respect whatsoever. And all it has to do, not his policies, not this, is that a black man went up there and beat them Republicans, and they end up in that. And they are the reason why he ended up in the White House. They are the reason. And now, that's why they didn't know Congress. They don't do nothing. Everything mm-hmm. is no. But we, as citizens, sit back and let all that happen to that man go on 4 years. And so you see, when people have that in their mind,
mm-hmm.
and you got young people, done seen it for about 4 years. Some jump on, everything going to come out there. And you can't hold all that anger and stuff back. You can't hold it. But we have never ever fought a fight without whites helping. Mm-hmm. Whites have been on the forefront, marching right with us, and some of them did give their life for the civil rights.
Correct.
You remember those, what, there were three guys? One white guy,
right.
Two black, they end up in a river.
But back then, see, the black and white, they got along better than
yep.
they're doing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's the young generations or what, but anyway, we got along. I didn't attend a white school, mm-hmm. I attended a black, but I had a lot of white friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all worked together, marched together, we had mm-hmm. a wonderful time.
But it's just like, what's the girl, Charlene Register, she wrote a book. She's a professor at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, she said that integration hurt our black community here in Chaffee and Caldwell because mm-hmm. it closed all our schools and took away our identity, and we had right. to try to, you know, live up to somebody else's identity because everything that we had pride in and that held us together, kept us together, it was taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hit it right on the head, but you know, in the meantime, like I said, you got so much swirling around, so much going on, and everything will come out then. Even way back when you did your first march, when I first went to school, 11, you know, I was 11 years old, integrated. and was spit on, kicked on, called nigga all day long. You know, and that happened until I graduated.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So you know, where we would restrain ourselves, there's no need in trying to get the young people to restrain themselves, because somebody in that crowd going to have weapons. Somebody in that crowd is not going to do what you tell them to do. And the Trayvon Martin thing, I am so very, very proud of the young people so far, because no violence. And they did it peacefully all over. Wherever
right.
they were having their little marches and things, they have done it right. But if there's no verdict or whatever, it's going to be just like, what's the name, Rodney King?
Correct, but I think it's going to be back.
You know,
like with Martin Luther King, I'm going to be honest, when they killed Martin Luther King,
yeah,
it's going to go back that far, really. It's going to be okay. that violent. Really,
yeah.
it is.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
is.
And the watch riots and all that, just be repeated.
Right.
But now, we had riots here in Chapel Hill, too. We had you remember when the motorcycle gang killed James Cates?
Correct.
This town was on fire. They had a riot then.
Right.
And also, they had a riot right on campus, UNC campus, when the workers at the Pine Room, Lenore Dining Hall, they had to call in National Guards on that.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
It was 1968 or 69.
Right, yeah, I had to move to Chase Hall. There.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but they had National Guards, and the students is what led that.
And some of the Lenore Hall workers demonstrated.
UNC,
right.
UNC students led that protest, and that's why they had to send in National Guards. Students refused to go to class. I mean, they shut the university down. It's not that the university closed down, it's just that they had no students to go
to class.
Attend,
right.
Right, right. And so that's part of the history.
That was the Hell Angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, wait a minute, they were the stormtroopers. Stormtroopers, because one of the Hell Angels killed a couple of the guys in the stormtroopers.
In the stormtroopers.
I used to remember
okay.
the guy's name, but it's on... It's in that Southern history at Wilson Library.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look under James Capes,
mm-hmm.
and then I believe the case would come up.
The stormtroopers were...
Oh, it was the
stormtroopers. Was a motorcycle gang out of Durham.
Uh-huh.
But then they were always clashing with the Hells Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The other...
Remember, not too long after that, the Hells Angels and the stormtroopers got in a big thing, and about four of them got killed.
In Florida, I remember
uh-huh.
that.
And so, but they about done died out now, but they old, all them old now.
Hells Angels was a local motorcycle gang? Or?
It was in Durham.
So they were both in Durham?
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
they had chapters all over the United States, but this group came out of Durham that... killed James Cates.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a chapter.
The Hells Angel one?
Mm-hmm.
Stormtroopers
uh-huh. had a
chapter
in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's online.
Mm-hmm.
They got it on there. But so, Chapel Hill has had some problems now. And even in the 1932, out in Cobborough, there was a case where it was some people were trying to arrest a black man, but the black people wouldn't let them take. It was over 200 people out there.
In
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, okay.
And it happened, and they didn't let them. They called Durham police and anybody in a uniform, because the blacks were not going to let them take that man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a book I got,
mm-hmm,
and it's also online
mm-hmm.
at the Wilson Library.
Mm-hmm.
Tells the whole story and who the man is and everything. But they had to secretly get him out of town, because blacks and whites were at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacks wouldn't back down. And it was another time, it was on Cameron Avenue. It was a white guy, Professor somebody at the university, was liking a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the book. Her name, everything is in
mm-hmm.
there. And
this is the UNC professor's book.
It's in Yanni Chapman's.
Yanni Chapman's.
It's in his thing, but you can see it on online at the Wilson Library, his Southern Historical section.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pull that up, and but the guy came with some other white guys, and they were going to beat up on the man. Well, they were trying to get the man was trying to get the woman to come outside, and her husband came out. And so the blacks got together then, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was getting ready to be a race riot right then and there.
I need to go.
Yeah.
Read some of that myself. Because that back in 32, yeah, I wasn't
yeah.
even born.
Yeah.
That was in 30, that was in 32 as well. Or?
That was, I'm trying to think. The other one, I think, was either 1928 or 1932. Mm-hmm. But the other one happened a little bit after that. But also, the we had already had the housekeepers and low-paying jobs and all. They had already done rioting and all of that and protests at the university about low pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Frank Porter Graham who was there that helped them out. And he was called a racist and all this kind of stuff because he was for the workers getting more money.
Right.
And these were black workers.
Mm-hmm.
See, we just don't know all this history. And
right.
Johnny Chapman, he got it all. He wrote it all, about 400 some other pages, and all it is on the university and black people here in Chapel Hill and the other things that happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to
his thesis. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on there. All you got to do, go to Wilson Library, their site, and I call you and I give you the site.
Okay.
And when you go there, you can just punch in anything, and it'll be the anything that happened in Chapel Hill, it'll be there.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 32 and 21.
Yeah. But I know my mom was in, my mom and father was in all that because we lived up that way at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right that way it happened there, we were living there, mm-hmm. so I wasn't born and half of us weren't even born
right.
then, but I know they were in that 200. They could
yeah,
help from being in right there in front of the house.
Well,
yeah.
I have a question. If you said during demonstrations that white people were you said were good friends, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, you know they were more open. Well, I tell you what. In Carlburn now, yeah, a lot of problems in Carlburn, and I was born in Carlburn. We left there when I was 10 years old. Now those were your poor whites that
mm-hmm.
lived there, and the poor whites, they were mistreated by the rich whites. Because, you know, they were poor, ignorant, that's how they treated them. All right, and so they did the same kind of work we did. Okay, so, but when I moved over here to Chapel Hill, totally different, like going to another country. Because in Carver, I had to be on my P's and Q's and you know, wash my back and everything. Because some houses you just pass by, they stick the dog on you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember we used to walk to the ball game.
Right.
Out there in Carlboro.
Right.
Now, we had to take pockets. I mean, see, y'all rode with the cheerleaders.
Right, I just.
And so, you see, me, fast, mm-hmm. the rest of them, if we didn't catch a ride with somebody, parent, or whatever, we walked out there but with a big group of people. But when you get out there, you know where they are protesting at that new CVS pharmacy they're going to put out there.
Right, mm-hmm. right there.
You store it right there.
Right.
And you pass that, then you're just in trouble. Because you had these poor white kids that lived on the right side and the left side. And they would have dogs, and the dogs would run out barking at us. So we always had rocks in our, you know, in our pockets and throw it and throw at the dog. They would turn on their water hoses trying to wet us up. We would walk in the street. We just knew what to do because that was the only way you could go.
Mm.
And so, and we walked all the way out there behind the Carlboro Police Department because they had the ballpark out there, and that's where
yes,
Lincoln and Chaffee High School played their football.
Mm-hmm.
We played on Friday nights, and the white school, Chaffee High School, played on Saturday nights. But the interesting thing is, on the visitor side, that's where a majority of your blacks were. But on the, the home side, that's where we were. On the visitor side, the whites who live out there in that area, they went to the ball games and supported the black team, Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
They were there, but they were just on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had blacks and whites mingling together, you know, the whole time. But we were always, you know, you were just born with instincts that
you know who's friendly and who's not friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come up on, you know, some of the whites who lived in Carlboro, you know how to deal with them also. Because you know you're going to be dealt with anger or something like that. That was only because of their economic status. They were no better off than we were. Some of us were better off than they were. Plenty of us were. And so there was a lot of resentment, and that's what met us with integration.
Mm-hmm.
Because these poor white kids, they were always teased, picked on, bullied, or whatever. And then when blacks went into the school, that's when it turned and they started bullying us.
Okay.
And that's where most of it come from. But, you know, if you were from Chapel Hill, parents had a little something or whatever, you didn't even engage in that stuff. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you didn't have to. Well, and so, anyway.
Well, Ms. Brooks, so you said you went to
the Lincoln High
Lincoln,
School.
So,
yes.
Nothing,
yeah.
So how did you become friends with some of the white friend students that didn't go to Lincoln?
Well, like you said, different ball games, different schools,
mm-hmm.
that had the white, and we all would mingle together. I grew up
mm-hmm.
with some of them, but
yeah.
I can't remember any of, you know, we're
yeah,
older
right.
than
they. Yeah.
I can't remember any of them, but we were much friendlier than
mm-hmm.
we are today.
Mostly sports events, things like that?
Most of them I met, like Hillsboro. I even met some in Hillsboro. Hillsboro was just
mm-hmm.
as prejudiced as
yes.
as Pittsburgh,
right.
those little small towns.
Right.
But the white young were not. We, you know, they
mm-hmm.
they were just friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I engaged in with them. Like I said, I'm getting older and can't remember. You know, I'm serious. But
mm-hmm.
we
yeah.
just had a better time, I think, than
right.
we have now.
Right.
I really do.
How do you think the interaction was different back then that, as far as getting to meet people than it is now?
Why'd you ask?
Well, one thing, they don't show any courtesy, is like you were saying, in our neighborhood, if people would just say hello, we are used to people addressing us, saying hello,
uh-huh.
people speaking, showing courtesy towards one another. And we are seniors, and, you know, we were taught you always respected a senior no matter what. You always were courteous to them, speak to them. Or if you see them going in the house, they got grocery bags or something in, need help,
you help
out or something, and you don't get any of that. You sit on your porch, nobody, you see people walking by all day long, they don't throw their hand up, say nothing. And even when you speak sometimes, they don't speak back. It's just totally different. It's like they're in a different world,
right.
you know. I take it to be an electronic world, they got their mind on something else.
Right.
Because, you know, but it has a whole lot to do with how you were raised to be respectful, too. Because
mm-hmm.
we were raised that way. Because if you disrespect anybody, your butt got tore up. We had corporal punishment back then. And parents didn't hesitate to use it if you were out somewhere being disrespectful.
Right.
And being disrespectful just did not exist for us. It was not tolerated.
To me, this new generation, I think what has happened, the law itself has taken away the parents'
rights.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they can't discipline their
mm-hmm.
children. And the kids
yeah.
understand that, and they will
right.
call the police, and there you
yeah.
go to jail.
Right.
You know, I'm serious.
Yeah.
That has
yeah.
happened occasionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a problem, too. They
yeah.
need to just put the discipline back into the parents' hands.
Yeah.
And things would be totally different. I don't know how it was when you were growing up. But
oh, I got spanked a
yeah.
fair amount.
and you know, now
I told
you
something.
Yeah. And you can
but
even divorce your parents if you don't want to be your parents no more.
Man, that's true. That's
you
that's
know.
The biggest problem.
Yeah.
I think the law has just gone a little too far.
Too far.
But see,
yeah.
if they do mine like that, I'm going to tell them, take them right with you.
Yeah.
And bring my suitcase and leave down
right.
there with them and let them
yeah.
be the parent.
Let the judge take them on.
And I see, won't they bring him back?
Oh, absolutely.
They'll bring him right back.
Right quick.
And say, Miss, go right ahead and discipline this child.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But I think that's really has happened, what has happened to the leadership and the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They have really taken
mm-hmm.
it away from the
right.
parents, being
mm-hmm.
the parents.
Mm-hmm. And we need more leaders. In Chapel Hill, our ministers need to take a leadership role outside of the church.
Yeah.
I feel if you can take my money, then what is happening to me and my community should concern you. We have not had not one minister to step up and go to that town hall on our behalf because of how we have been forced to live over here. And Pine knows we only had one minister, and he didn't even live in the community, and that was Reverend Robert Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He went before the town board and were pleading our case, and he didn't live here. But the ministers who churches is all around here, they'll let you come in and have a meeting, but that's it. We need to be vocal. Take a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then more people will follow you, and we can get more things accomplished in town if we had those kind of voices. But those voices are silent,
mm-hmm.
have been silent. Until you go before the town council on behalf of people in your congregation, you are not leading. I don't have to worry about you saving my soul. I want to be saved while I'm here on this earth.
That's
now, right. When I'm gone, that's up to God, what he going to do? But if I need help right here, then why, and everybody giving you their money, why you can't go and tell the town, look, my people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We need some help. We need this or we need that. Why do it always have to be the same ones running down there before the council? Because we don't have any other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get NAACP or people like us in the community to go out, start the march and all this stuff again, when we should have ministers and people like that who say they're in power and have power over us to go down there on our behalf, and we come behind. We don't have that. We don't have it. Our churches is not as active as they were back in our day. Churches were active. The minister was launching with you, and the whole nine yards. Now, nope, just want to see what you're going to put in that plate. And I don't have a dime to give them. If you can't come out of that church and support me on what I consider is me trying to survive in a town, my very survival, then I can't put nothing in your plate. And I don't want to hear nothing you got to say, because like I say, God will take care of my soul. That's when I'm gone. I got to have some help while I'm still here on this earth.
Well, I can speak for Reverend Manley. He did.
Now, Reverend Manley, in his day, he has marched, he has spoke, he has done everything. But you got younger ministers now, and all they care about is that plate.
Because like me, I'm getting older too, like with Reverend Manley. Now, I know Reverend Manley marched with us.
He marched, that was the first church with the doors open. St. Joseph Church was open. St. Paul Church was open. But the thing is, they were leaders, and you considered them leaders in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You considered them leaders. But I just don't see that now except for Reverend Campbell. And like she said, Reverend Manley, he's older now. He's fought his fights.
Right.
But if push come to shove, he'd jump on out there, you know, if he had to.
He would try, because I know I'm 66, and I know when I was like this, he was.
Yeah, he was out there.
And it's rough for me, but I'd be right out there helping them now, too. But
so that's what I'm saying.
May not have as
the
much
lack
skill.
Of leadership now is what we need, because this is what the young people need.
Right.
But as long as you don't have that leadership, you know, parents can't do it all. And we had father figures, mama figures everywhere we went. Everywhere we went, in school, whatever we did, even if you just walked down your street, there were fathers who throw the hand. Now, if you didn't have a father at home, you can have somebody else's father. You know, it was just that close. It was just that close. Same thing if you didn't have a mother at home. There were so many mothers around who would just smother you. You know, and but I'm just saying, for us, for the people in Chapel Hill, minorities, everybody's going to have to do their part. Everybody. And I feel that the ministers should step out front. And if they start stepping out front, other people going to come with their congregation to come with them. Because that's what happened back in 1961 to 64. The minister was out there, and the congregation was out there with them. That's what it was. And we just don't have that now. We got many problems. That's just one major problem for me, is to get them mobilized. Because we even asked the Ministers Alliance, which are most of the black ministers they're part of, we asked for their assistance in when we was trying to get the moratorium. We ain't hear back. Sent every last one of them a letter.
The moratorium on the...
moratorium for this, to stop the building over here on the north side. We didn't get a response. Not one of them. And that's why Reverend Campbell came to the town board meeting with us. He was the only one that showed up, you know, that got a letter. Only one. Nobody else. And he was looking around. He said, well, I know some of them coming. Mm-mm. He was the only one there. And so until we put everything together here on how we need to do things and stay together and work together, we can improve a lot of things that's going on now. A lot of things. Because for Carol and I, we live in a situation, like she said, we're retired. We just want peace and quiet and thought we're just going to, you know, going to be able to just have a good retirement at home. But that's not it. Every day, we don't know if it's going to be peace and quiet or not. That's an everyday thing. Every weekend, you start having a little anxiety about Thursday because you don't know what Friday going to be like, Saturday going to be like. Even if they come and tell you, well, we're going to have a little get-together, and you say to yourself, well, dang, you just had one last week, you know. So you don't know, and sometimes, especially living next door to a fraternity, I have no idea when they're going to crank up. They may come home 10, 12 o'clock at night. I hear the doors shut and cars and all. Next thing you know, music blasting, 12 o'clock at night. So I had to call 911 if I'm going to get any sleep. But they'll go on until you do call the police. Mm-hmm. And know they're disturbing. So you see, that's anxiety that you have to live with all the time. It's not going away because they're not going away.
Right. You know, a lot of students don't, even on a normal school night when they're trying to get work done, don't go to sleep till 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine on the weekends when they're trying to...
party
all
night.
Yeah.
Well, I think through the week they party all night.
Yeah,
When do they have a time?
But
to
we've
go to
had
school.
Students living in the community forever. But they lived over near Columbia Street, Conwell Street, and they kind of lived together. Mm-hmm. And but once they started coming in, you know, where the homes and things were, you can't do the same thing that you would do in an apartment that you would do in a home where you have seniors all around you. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, and somehow they just don't get it. Some of them don't get it. Now, I can't put all students in the same bunch because it's not. Some of them, they live in harmony with us, want to live in harmony with us, and then some just don't care. That, you know, hey, I pay rent, I do what I want.
Yeah, and I think it's just the different... nationalities, different states that come in also that we have around here.
Yeah.
They just like New Jersey, Florida, Mississippi, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Not living here. That's the problem.
They don't
really.
The history and
and
sense of family. Yeah.
Like down south, they used to doing this, running over the black folks. But see, you come into Chapel Hill now. I don't think you go run over.
You're going to do that because, you know, when you throw your trash out, all in it, and all that. See, you trashing us.
Right.
That means you don't have no respect for us whatsoever to trash our neighborhood and, you know, build baller cans, all that, and our grandchildren, our young kids are subject to all this drinking and see it all the time on a daily basis. And you can't hide this stuff from our kids. You can't. They'll see it all the time, and they think this is normal. But this is not normal. For somebody to be getting drunk or getting high every day. And not just one house, good gracious, sometimes it could be every house.
Right.
On a weekend, it's just a whole community. Mm-hmm. Wherever they're still, bam, they're going to have a party or they're going to be drinking or doing something. I'm so sick of them red cups, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And they just everywhere. And in this yard next to me, red cups just everywhere. One night, my sister and I, me and Monet were coming home. She'd give me a ride home. Right there, that light post out there.
Mm-hmm.
Students had put a card table out there in the street. It was four of them. And they were playing that game with the red cups, drinking alcohol in the street.
Now, you know.
And the police came up right behind me and Monet. Mm-hmm. And do you know, they stopped and told them to get out of the street and went on down the road.
Correct.
Public consumption, that's what they were doing. Underage drinking, that's what they were doing, and impeding traffic.
Right.
They rode on down the street.
The only problem I have with the whole situation with the black and the white, now if that had been the black sitting out there doing that, they'd have been in jail.
That's right.
See, it's a problem.
Absolutely.
And that's what our young kids are seeing.
That's what they see.
Now.
Right.
They're saying if they can do it, then why can't we do it?
But they can't. We can't do it. We can't do it. You know, Easter, when we had that, police came up here.
Because
they said that somebody from 315 had reported that there was a car parked in front of 315 and they want the car moved. Mm-hmm. You know where 315? That's Rock Mary's and them house.
And a soul in that.
And one of, no, I'm talking about where Miss Effie lives.
Oh, that's who called?
That's three, no, they didn't call. Students called and said that somebody parked in front of 315. Nobody parked in front of 315. They were parked in front of 314.
Oh, okay.
And at the same time, the police got a call that some people on motorcycles were riding up MacDay Street, Cotton Street, and Brook Street.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. Y'all were outdoors. We were outdoors.
Well,
we would have seen... We would have seen all these motorcycles flying up and down
right,
the street.
Right.
And all, but and then they said somebody from 315 called that in. And seeing it was a lie, because Rocket was in our yard. So you see, and so they got upset. We got upset. So here was
a big mess.
Yeah. Because
they called the lady in London, them house, whoever stayed in there. Called about disturbance down where we were. Well, it was a disturbance, but
yeah.
it was on, they had about four or five police officers down there. That was some between Virginia and the lady in Maybeth next door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had it settled.
Yeah.
But they called all four. I didn't know where all these
police
were.
Well, see, that's
what
I'm talking about. When the police come for us, four fire calls got to
right.
come. Because I got on them. I said, now, why is all these police cars here? And y'all telling me you just come because somebody got a car parked in front of 315 and that 315 over there. And this is 314.
Right.
Car parked here. Why you got to have four or five calls? I called down there. I raised so much hell. They had to get the supervisor called and talked to her. I said, listen, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of breathing white black.
Right.
I said, because that's what it's going to come to now.
Really has.
If you're breathing white black, then here y'all come with four or five cars. And it took him a long time to calm me down because that was not right.
Right.
Because we have no parking out here on this street. You're supposed to have a permit.
Right.
When that officer came up and he didn't see no car in front of 315, he should have called back the dispatcher and said there's no car in front of 315. The car was in front of 314, my house.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where we park.
Right.
On that side.
Right,
that's 314.
Right.
315 on the side of the road. And that's all he had to do. He didn't do that. And he came up and he was saying somebody got to move the car. Right.
See, they made.
And then when I looked, Porsche was parked in front of 312. See, when they crank up their music over there, 911. Because you were disturbing me 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm in the bed. No, you're not going to have that music bouncing. And they put the music back there where my bedroom is.
Right.
Right there in the kitchen when they can move it up to the living room. Mm-hmm.
But they made it larger area over there too, I see.
Right. And see, and when they're outdoors, they're bouncing the basketball
all night
day.
And all day.
They start about 11 o'clock in the morning bouncing that basketball. It'll go on until it get dark. They bounce that ball. Mm-hmm. So if I want to take a nap during the day, I had to go into another bedroom. I can't go in my bedroom because they know that that's my bedroom and they know they're disturbing me.
Right.
And so I have to go into another bedroom to take my nap. Now, if they're out there at night, I have to do the same thing.
Right.
But when it comes time for lights out, I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's 911. Now, over there on Lindsay Street in front of Janie's house.
Right.
Where all that mess they got over there, they tried to have a beach party.
I saw that.
And it was about four, they got four or five calls from different people on there, and the officer gave them, what is it, a $600 citation. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because that's what the issue is now. They keep coming to your house, they're going to keep giving it to you. So these boys over here probably got one for when I called about them with noise. And so what I had Portia do is just move the car. I could have gave her a permit,
right,
leave the car there, but I said, nope, just move the car. Let's just move it. And I told her I'd take care of it. I called, you know, after I talked with the supervisor, because we still have a complaint. The complaint is police officers didn't do the job.
They don't? When
they came, and when they saw there was not a car in front of 315, right, they should have called and said there's no car there. Prank call. Because they were out here riding around trying to find the motorcycles and all, crank call.
Right.
And the supervisor even admitted to me that he was out riding around, didn't see nothing. And I said, but the thing is, you all came and told us we had to do something, we were ordered to do something.
Right. That's what he
said. All he had to do was just call. I said, this Breathing White Black and this separate treatment that you all have for minorities, mm-hmm, I said, one day it's just going to jump off. Mm-hmm. People going to take all they can take.
Right, that's true.
And so you see, you got all of that combined with everything else that's going on out here. And so all people like me and Carolyn do our age, what we can do is just pray. We just pray and hope our kids and things not caught up in whatever's going
to
happen.
But we can pray to a certain extent. I think we can go back. We can forget. I'm sorry, Martin. I love you to death. But we're going to forget the nonviolence.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go that way.
No.
I know I can.
I'm going to say nonviolence. But, you know, you can only hold stuff in so long. But mine go all the way back, like I said, when I was 11 years old. Spit on, kicked on. Just clothes tore off. Every day I'm walking home and spit just dripping everywhere because they waited most until you got outside of class. And then, I mean, just a group of them, just you had to throw your hands up like that, try to keep spit from going all in your face and stuff.
But see, I didn't have to encounter that because right. I was going
see, she
to
went
a segregated
to
one.
And, right. and see, I thought I was going to remain
in the grade
with my black classmates. And so it's devastating for me, all my life from about 5 years old, I wanted to go to Lincoln.
Right.
I want to get in the band, do something. I don't care what it was. I was going to do something when I went to Lincoln. But that dream was taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up. What happened, my first day of school, I went to Frank Porter Graham because they had just built the elementary school. And when I went there, the principal told me I was in the wrong school. And so I said, well, I knew I had graduated from Northside, I had lost and everything. And so the man said, come on. And so I got in the car, because you did what people told you to do back then. I got in the car with him. And when I got in the car, and he was coming up on Franklin Street, I got to holler and scream. I wouldn't get out of his car. He made me get out of the car. And then he took me in there to the principal. I was still crying, just bawling, girl. And the first thing the principal told me, he said, this is your school now. This is where you going. You are not to hit any white student, no matter what they do. You are not to hit them. You're not to talk back to the teachers. And he said, if you do talk back to the teachers, or if you do anything to these white students where they do something you are not, you will not be able to go to the Chaffee Hill Carver City Schools. Your parents would have to pay for you to go to school in another county. That's what I was told at 11 years old.
And then he
walked me to my classroom, and when I went in that time, he opened the door. And them kids saw me, and my skin was dark. Honey, they started throwing things at me while he was in there.
See, I didn't have to encounter.
He didn't say a word. He just went out and shut the door.
This is before Chapel Hill High, because you were 11. This was at...
I was 11, Chapel Hill Junior High School,
junior
right
high
there
school.
On Franklin Street.
Yeah, see, I didn't.
Franklin Street. And then teacher told me to sit down. I saw an empty chair. And the guy in front of me, he didn't want me to sit with him, threw my chair around there. And so they took my chair. All right, here go everybody sitting up here in the front of the class. Teacher drove my chair back in the back of the classroom. I sitting back there by myself. Mm-hmm.
See, I had heard that too. See, I didn't have to encounter that.
And so you see, if I had homework, anything to pass up, I had to get up out of my seat, pass to the person in front of me. And then you remember how you used to make them little paper airplanes
right
there?
Right.
Made an airplane out of them, flew it right on out of the door. Teacher give me a...
Right, see. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't have
we to. We lost a lot of young teachers back then who had just got their teaching certificates and all come from UNC and come from the North. Mm-hmm. They had to quit because of the treatment was so brutal, you know, that we received. Mm-hmm. They were not used to it. They left. They wouldn't even teach in North Carolina. And so what you had there were some older teachers there, and they had that old mindset. White teachers had that mindset. Whew. And so it was just rough going. I had to face that every day. But when I got home, I tried to put my books down, and then we run over to center and play. But I couldn't sleep that night because I knew what I was going to have to go through the next day. Mm-hmm. And my sisters and brothers come home talking about the good experience they had in school, my teacher this, or laughing and joking. I ain't had nothing to laugh and joke about. Going through hell every day. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad so, I didn't have to encounter that.
Honey, I thought God had even forsaken me. It was that bad. But you did what your parents told you to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mother, bless her heart, she worked in the cafeteria. And when I come through there and they were spitting on me, calling names, and doing the other black kids that, she couldn't help me. Because if she did anything, she would have been fired. She had 11 kids to feed, her and my father. You couldn't sacrifice for one and then end up everybody was going to be hurt. And so the only way that she could do, because a lot of the guys, you know, they used to tease her, call her Miss B, and they would tell, and my mom would say, all right, now, cut that out now, else I'm not going to give you extra helping. I ain't going to give you extra helping now. And then, you know, they said, okay, Miss B, okay, and they just loved her. And then they found out she was my mother. And some of them didn't know how to act. Here they was, spitting on me, calling me nigga all in the line, but they loved my mom. But my mama remember she was light skinned with gray eyes. So, you know, they couldn't figure out how it hit. You know, I'm her daughter. But that, it slacked off a little bit when I went to the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Because they showed her respect. Mm-hmm. You know. And one time I went before the school board because we were not getting our right grades. You had to make an A to get a C.
I'm glad I didn't.
And so, but the guys caught me after class, and they took an iron pipe, they done heat it up, burn on my leg. Girl, I had to wear this mark on my leg the rest of my life. Mm. Right there.
Oh.
Yeah, held me down and put it on there.
Some other students did that?
Now, what students school at high that? School, at the junior high school, at the high school.
Lord, I'm glad.
Right up down Franklin Street. And what happened, what happened, my mom, she got out of work and she took me to the hospital. Mm. And then we walked back, leg all patched up. Mm.
And this is because you went to talk to the...
Because I went before the school board. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember Ms. Charlotte Adams. She used to be a white lady who came in the community and was trying to help us through the integration and all kind of things. She did a lot of stuff for us. Mm. But we had study hall. Because, you know, a lot of black kids, we had a lack of background coming from Northside and then going up there with the white kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, even those who went to Lincoln had a little, they needed some help. Mm-hmm. Because remember, the white students got all the new books.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They get everything before we did, and we got right. The old books. Correct. You know, they tear pages out, mark them up. But anyway, I'll make this real quick. And I lost my thought when he was looking
I'm sorry,
at his
I just,
time.
I actually have to do some work.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have to, yeah. Wrap.
I helped you.
I'm
sure. But anyway, we really appreciate you all doing this because I realized when T.T. Fashi, when he was talking, T.T. broke down. Because T.T. had to go to prison for 2 weeks, Central Prison.
See.
for 2 weeks with it, but he said he couldn't find a job, nothing, when he got out. Mm-hmm. Because all the white folk held it against him, and then the blacks couldn't hire him either, because then they wouldn't get no work from whites. Mm-hmm. So T.T. left.
Yeah, I
he had to
T.T.
leave.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, so the reason why I'm saying it's a good thing that you're always doing this, because that gave him a chance to get that out, because he had been keeping that in all that time.
Mm-hmm.
He actually broke down. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I had it again. I mean, I liked the march. It wasn't that violent. I remember T.T., but I'm glad I didn't go to jail.
But we
well, you were there for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's it. And it was nice. They brought in all this food. We had a wonderful time. But I don't know what happened. I'm glad I didn't face that. But anyway.
No, but you know, we survived it because, you know, we're survivors.
Right.
But I just missed my black community where it was so close. Everybody knew each other. And it's never ever going to get back that way because we don't have the money to put anybody else over here. Families over here. But there will be white families coming as soon as that school is built. Because what better place can you live to raise a child, and your child can walk over to school here, and then you can walk down to Franklin Street, enjoy Franklin Street and all that. So some of these students will be moving because some of these homes are going to convert back.
Well, I hope
because
so.
These families is going to want some of these homes.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
It'll be white families, won't be black families, or we can't get along.
Oh, no, it might be
know.
Some.
Well, what I'm saying, it won't. Black. Majority won't be black, because first we got to get somebody to give us a loan.
Well, I hope again, if they do
so
be white, they
you know,
come in with the understanding and get
right.
along.
And you know, in a sense, I believe they will. I truly
be better because I can live and work with white folks. I work with them at the hospital.
Yeah,
you know. But I hope it
don't bother
it back
don't
to family.
Me at all.
It doesn't
sure.
matter. Just have family because these college students, all they worried about is partying. On the I'm sorry, I hate talking about y'all, but all y'all do is going to school just to party and drink.
Yeah,
sometimes I ask mine down there. I say, now, when do y'all go to school and study? Oh, I see you coming in with these big cases
they
of beer.
Uh-huh.
All you're doing is partying. Honey,
yeah.
when do we go to school?
But
they
go.
Kind of friendly. I like my
honey. But they go. Mm-hmm. They go.
That's what they said. But, I mean, I like them. They speak.
Yeah.
Now, the one down in Mr. Pluto's house, those young girls,
mm-hmm.
man, they are real nice. They always
yeah.
speaking. And the guys in the Weaver's house.
Yeah.
And Lord, I like
that's
to go down there and shake them.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Tell them that, honey, I have kids about your ways. They walk right
mm-hmm.
past you cursing
won't
and
say
won't
that.
Say
yeah.
hi you,
yeah.
but I fix them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wait just a minute. Do you see me standing here with my grandbaby? You better respect him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to
then
say, oh,
speak.
I'm sorry. I'm
uh-huh.
you know.
It's
but
like they're in
I
a
like my name.
Different world. Mm-hmm. I got the mind on something else.
Right.
You know, with that little bit of being courteous to people would go a long way to healing in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of courtesy, but you know, you can't get it out of. But anyway, long as some of us are still left here, we still
right.
call it a community.
Correct.
Right. Like look down at him, see Carol them down there, or leading them up there somewhere. You know, you still.